You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to a fresh new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. I'm joined today by Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN. Calvin, what's up, buddy?
What's up? You all right?
Oh, I can't complain. Well, other than the Texans game, I can complain about that. But this is a Rockets show. I'll try and get back to the Rockets. The big news besides them winning last night, November 23rd is tomorrow. We heard from your colleague, Mark Stein of ESPN, that was going to be an unofficial deadline, hopefully, for Daryl Morey, because that's the last day that they could sign Denonis Manyunis and still keep him trade eligible. Now, you had a tweet about it yesterday that they had had good discussions, but that they hadn't really advanced. If you could just elaborate a little bit, where are things with the Rockets and Manyunis right now?
Well, they're nowhere. Last I heard, the Fed has had great conversations with his agent, B.J. Armstrong. Manyunis wants to play. He wants to play this season for the Rockets. The Rockets have offered a multi-year deal. And Armstrong is of the belief that Manyunis should get more money on the market, in the marketplace. The Rockets are not really budging. So as we all know, tomorrow is a quote-unquote unofficial deadline to sign him, and as you said, keep him trade eligible. Because, you have to be 90 days with a team before you can get traded. So if you sign with us, free agent or whatever, which is the case here with Manyunis. So right now, it's a stalemate.
Does it feel like some of his leverage is going away? I know that you mentioned that at one point a few weeks ago that at least Europe had been considered, but it feels like the longer we go into this season without a deal, the harder it is to imagine a scenario where he truly goes to Europe. You know, the longer this drags out, I don't know, the more it feels like the Rockets are his only realistic option to play, assuming he wants to play. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. But I think Josh Smith, the old friend of ours, might have been a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Guys, so we got 41 points in the game.
Yep.
I think it was last week. So it's never too late, in a sense. But yeah, his bargaining power is dwindling. There doesn't seem to be any teams out there in the league that are willing to, to offer him a contract that might push the Rockets into matching it. So as of right now, it seems as if his bargaining power is dwindling by the day. There are a couple of teams, about five or six teams, give some cap space, but nobody's willing to pay Manyunis money. I mean, he's got, as someone in the organization told me a couple of weeks ago, Manyunis is coming off two back surgeries. You know, if he had one back surgery, he would have a little more bargaining power or leverage. But he's coming off two back surgeries. There's always some questions about his back. As talented as he is, but no one wants to take that chance. And the Rockets are not going to give him big money, to be with this club, even though Mike D'Antoni wants him on the club, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me, certainly Manyunis would still have options, but for him to make big money, whether it be the Rockets or somewhere else, he's eventually got to play. And so, yeah, he could always get a Josh Smith deal with, like, a Chinese team. But, that's probably not going to be a high enough level of competition for him to, prove that he's past the back injuries, all that stuff going on. I mean, by and large, I think he's got to play, and not just play, but play at a high level for a very strong league to get the kind of contract that he wants. Now, the other thing about this, I know you were at practice today. We're chatting with Calvin Tuesday afternoon. And the Rockets in between games, they won in Detroit Monday night. They're playing Toronto Wednesday at Toyota Center. I know you asked Mike D'Antoni about his rotation. D'Antoni said that the rotation was set nine men until whenever Manyunis returns. So it sure sounds like when you talk to people around the Rockets, especially Coach D'Antoni, it still sounds like that eventually they expect him back.
Yes, they do at some point. But as you know, in sports, sometimes you got to move on. And with the Rockets, we kind of knew they would have to make two adjustments. But Pat Beverly came back from his knee surgery, and when Monty Ennis signed, so there was going to be some adjustments to the rotation. But here we are in mid-November, and there's no Monty Ennis, and D'Antoni, as you know, keeps a tight rotation. He's going with nine guys. Kyle Anderson, who was part of that rotation, now he's a bench guy, really. He's just sitting on the bench, just chilling. KJ McDaniel, who was getting minutes, now he's just sitting around just watching things. Montrezl Harrell will get in when they decide to give Nene a day off on the back end of a back-to-back. So this is it. This is your rotation. Your second unit guards are Gordon and Beverly. And that's it. So my ears, you're going to have to wait. You know, whenever he comes back, he's going to have to fight for minutes because Sam Decker's playing really well at the four and at the three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about that bench. One question I get a lot is, what's happened to KJ McDaniels? And my answer is exactly what you just said, that Mike D'Antoni likes to keep a tight rotation, that it's really that simple, that, you know, he's not a guy who's going to play 10 players. And at this point, McDaniels does some things better than Corey Brewer, but Corey Brewer gives them some on-ball defense, some veteran savvy that that KJ might not can provide. And honestly, I also think it's fair to point out that Brewer's had a pretty good week or so. You know, he really struggled those two games against the Spurs, but Corey's been, you know, he's been a pretty solid rotation player for the last week. So basically, I'd just like to get your take. What happened to KJ? Is it just, you know, to me, it's not so much that he did something wrong. It's just a little bit of a numbers game with the return of Pat Beverly.
Yeah, I think it is a numbers game. I don't think he did anything wrong, per se. And then if I had to compare him and Sam Decker, I would say Decker gives him more position flexibility. He can play the three, he can play the four. KJ is kind of caught behind Corey Brewer, you know, and Brewer was playing badly. I mean, he had missed like 13 straight three-pointers. And D'Antoni was like, look, he gives us the intangibles. He sounded like Kevin McHale for a minute there. And Brewer has played well over the last couple of ball games to reward D'Antoni's faith in him. So KJ's behind Brewer. He can only play so many positions. I think they want a more flexible, they want a four, you know, like Decker, who can go to the paint, he can shoot it. I mean, outside, you know, Decker might be a better outside shooter than KJ right now.
Yeah.
So that also helps based on the offense. So it's just kind of like a numbers game. And skill set-wise, Decker is just a little bit better than KJ at this stage.
Yeah, I would also point out that really Decker's playing even a few minutes at the two, you could say. They've had lineups the last two games in which Harden was the point guard, and either Decker or Ariza is your two. I mean, Decker's playing so well that he is really squeezing a lot of guys for minutes at this point.
Yeah, it is. McDaniels, I like KJ McDaniels, but Decker's a better outside shooter. And in how the Rockets play, they're not trying to post up. They're not trying to go to the basket that often. I think Ron Anderson was talking about this after practice on Tuesday. He's getting more deep threes, outside looks than ever before. I think Trevor Ariza is getting more deep threes than ever before. So I think Trevor's taking more threes than regular twos. So you have to be more consistent with your outside shot, and KJ is not in comparison to Decker. Corey Brewer, who, as you said, has struggled badly, he's playing better now, and he does it on both ends, which is what you need out of a veteran guy like Corey Brewer. So that keeps KJ on the bench for right now.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Talking a little more broadly, when you look at this team, the Rockets are now 9-5. They've got their first three-game winning streak of the year. You were at practice today on Tuesday. Just curious how you would describe the mood, because to me, that game in Detroit Monday night, that was a little bit of a, I would call it a culture win. They didn't really shoot the ball that well. It wasn't really pretty, but whenever they needed to make a big play, you had Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, those guys scrapping, kind of finding their way to win. You know, it feels like the kind of win that a team gets when things are going well, as opposed to, you know, a year ago, that's kind of the game where they might fold up shop when Eric Gordon goes 0 for 5 and Harden goes 6 of 17. What's the vibe like around these days?
I think it's a good vibe. I think they realize they can win in different ways. They're winning pretty. They can win ugly, which is what they did last night. I think they were outscored in 3 to 4 quarters last night in Detroit. And they won that game.
Yeah.
And as Eric Gordon, their number one bench guy, had no points, you know. So that's a game that they, and I think Dudley said this today, that's a game they probably don't win last year. But this year, they are winning those games. And that's a mark of improvement, because you have to win those ugly games, the games where you get outplayed and you don't shoot that well, and somehow you find a way to win. I think Harden missed like 5 foul shots in the final quarter, and they still won that ball game. So that tells you a lot about the Rockets.
Yeah. I'm assuming that if, you know, if someone had told you before the year that they'd be 9-5 after 14 games, given all the road games, I'm thinking most people around Toyota Center would be pretty happy with that, and they'd gladly take it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if you think about the games that they gave away, yeah, the Lakers are a little bit better, but that's a game that the Rockets should have won.
Yeah.
You know, the Mavericks games, the back-to-back games, those were what they were. You know, the game in Atlanta, you should have won that game in Atlanta, because the Hawks are coming off, you know, a back-to-back, and you lost. And yeah, it was on the road, but still, it's not like going to Atlanta, you know, playing in San Antonio, you know. So there were a couple of games they gave away. They should have beaten OKC in OKC. So if anything, the Rockets should have maybe 11 wins on their mark, but they have 9, and I think they will take that, considering what transpired, as you said, in the first 2.5-3 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Last couple of things for me, really the two big pieces of the team. I'll start you with an easy one. If the Rockets stay in the top four in the West, James Harden, is he a legitimate MVP candidate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The issue is, you know, for the voters, and I'm not sure if I'm a voter yet, will the voters, because we find out later in the year, I think, will the voters say Kevin Durant, because he's on a quote-unquote better team in Golden State, is he more valuable than, say, Harden to the Rockets? I think that's one area. Then many might say, you know, how the Clippers off to a fantastic start. Numbers wise, Chris Paul doesn't have the numbers like Harden or Durant or Russell Westbrook. But you wonder about that. You know, LeBron James obviously is going to get his votes because of the Cavaliers. So Harden's definitely in the MVP conversation. He's in the top two, three. Yeah.
Yep. Other question, Clint Capella. It's obviously been a huge week for him. He's had consistently good games against, what, Embiid and Okafor, then Steven Adams, then Rudy Gobert, then Andre Drummond in Detroit. It feels like the switch has kind of been flipped between, you know, the 24 minutes that we started with, and it seems like the Rockets are more, you know, embracing that Capella's the guy. You know, they switched the rotation before the Jazz game. They let Capella finish. He played 30 minutes. Last night against Drummond, he played 35 minutes. Now, Nene is certainly going to play, but it feels like in the last week that the Rockets are kind of, you know, embracing the notion that, you know what, Capella has earned, you know, the starting center role, and this is a, you know, starting caliber player going forward. Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, I think he's always been the starter.
But in terms of minutes,
In minutes, yeah, because, you know, before this whole thing started, Mike D'Antoni was like, yeah, we'll see what the minutes are. You know, they might, you know, between him and Nene, you know, 25, 30 minutes for Capella, and then he would play the rest. But now you're seeing Capella get more and more minutes because D'Antoni's trusting him. I don't think D'Antoni knew a lot about Capella. That's why he was leaning towards Nene a little bit as a starter. But the reality was Capella has more upside. You know, yep. This was a big week for him. As you said, Rudy Gobert played well. You know, Embiid, he played well. I mean, he dominated Okafor. You know, he played well against Drummond, against Detroit. So, Steven Adams, you know, was there. But, you know, I thought Capella outplayed him. So, you know, and he's going to have a tough one against Toronto on Wednesday. So, yeah, I'd say Capella has done a fantastic job. If anything, this week kind of was his week to prove that he should be the starting center on this team, and you can rely on him, and I think you can.
Yep. Well, Calvin, thank you so much for the time. To circle back one more time to what we started off talking about, that's Donatas Moniunas. The unofficial deadline that Mark Stein referenced was tomorrow. That's Wednesday, the 23rd. That's the last day for the Rockets to sign him and still have him trade eligible this year. I know anything can happen, but just to reiterate, it doesn't really sound like, you know, as we chat on the afternoon of the 22nd, that anything is really cooking right now. Is that fair?
That's fair to say, but you never know. Something could transpire, you know, late tonight, Tuesday night, or Wednesday morning, and who knows. But I do know that Moniunas wants to be with the Rockets. The Rockets want Moniunas. The agent wants more money, and the Rockets are not willing to give, you know, Moniunas more money. So we'll see how it goes.
Yep, and we know Daryl Morey's a deadline guy, too, so that's why you can never write it off. Anyway, Calvin, thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow night at Toyota Center, okay?
Okay. Take care, man.
Will do. That's Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com. If you're not already following him on Twitter, you can do that at Calvin Watkins. I appreciate him taking the time to chat with us on the off day. Gave us a lot of good insight about not just Moniunas, but the team's vibe as a whole as they head into this Toronto game after winning 3 in a row, now 9-5 on the year. And on that positive note, I'm going to wrap up this quick off day episode of Locked On Rockets. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can always email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor. Thanks again for listening, and I'll be chatting with you again tomorrow night at Toyota Center when the Rockets, now 9-5 on the year, take on the Toronto Raptors. See you then.